So I was mentioning, you know, Easter's in a few weeks, and every Sunday, every week, every day, our focus is on who Jesus is, his presence in our lives, what he has done for us, what he's calling us to do, his work on the cross. But we just intensify that focus as we approach Easter Sunday and really celebrate all that he has done in this this message series that's actually going to carry us through Easter and a few weeks after. We're calling CrossFit because to really, you know, kind of focus on our spiritual fitness and how the cross of Jesus connects with every part of us and who we are and our relationship with God. Plus, it's just a fun, funny, quirky subculture. If you are a CrossFitter, have a good sense of humor about that. You probably don't, because my CrossFitter friends are very serious about their fitness programs, and you don't really joke about it. I've got a good CrossFit joke, but I'm not going to tell it. But I'll but meet me at the iced tea later, and I'll share it with you. It's pretty funny. All right, so but if you're not familiar with the whole CrossFit culture, it's actually really cool. It's a high intensity fitness program that incorporates elements from a variety of sports and different exercise types. I mean, so it pops up in, you know, you've probably seen them everywhere, you know, in little warehouses. They call them boxes. You know, where's your box? You know, and so my box is over, you know, and wasn't home. You know, and so, but the little gyms are called boxes, and they actually have a whole bunch of kind of fun. There's a whole lingo to CrossFit. They've got all these little words and abbreviations and acronyms and things like that, and you can feel kind of lost until you know you got to do a little research. In fact, if you're planning on getting involved in a CrossFit gym, go, you know, Google the lingo so you can kind of go in there and sound like you know what you're doing, and you can even understand what they're talking about, like AMRAP. What do you think AMRAP means? And so this is such a CrossFit thing. You knew it? You knew it? All right, you didn't see it. Say it. As many reps or rounds as possible in a given time period. It could be a 10, 20, 30 minute, however, you know, all right, this one's AMRAP, you guys, you know, and so, you know, you do as many, you know, reps as possible. And so, so you'll sound cool if you throw that one around. Okay, so, Sarah, do you know what a MRF is? So I learned this one from one of my dad buddies on my kid's soccer team. He was trying to get his MRF time down to be part of this competition in the city a couple months ago, and he had been training for it. And so these are brutal. These are so. That a boy. So a MRF is you start off with a 1 mile run. And then you do a series of pull-ups, push-ups, and air squats till you get, you can split it up into as many rounds and sets as you want to be able to do 100 total, eventually pull-ups, then 200 push-ups, 300, you know, air squats. And then you wrap that up with a 1 mile run. And if you're going to do a true MRF, and there's variations of it, but if you're really going to do it like Mike Murphy, You do it with a 20-pound weight vest on you. And so it's named after the famous Navy Lieutenant Mike Murphy. So that's what a MRF is. And so, and then there's the WOD.
Yeah,
everybody knows that. So the WOD, the workout of the day. It's the workout CrossFitters perform on any given day. Okay, so now you're a little familiar with the whole CrossFit culture, got some lingo under your belt. You know, in Paul in the New Testament, actually, he was most likely, he was probably by this time, he had to be quite the athlete because he logged thousands of miles trekking around the Mediterranean for all those years, starting new churches. He did those three missionary journeys on foot, plus in the fourth one, he's on a boat for most of that. He must have been quite the athlete to be able to just physically handle that. Plus, every other town he was in, he was just getting pounded by those that didn't agree with this message of the gospel that he was bringing. He was getting, beaten up and thrown, rocks at him and all kinds of stuff. So he had a little experience with the physical, being physical, being in good shape, what it took. And he would draw on this from time to time in his writings, like when he's advising young Timothy in his first letter to Timothy. He says, train yourself to be godly. Physical training is great. It's of some value. Believe me, I've needed it to get around all these years. He's older by this time when he's writing to Timothy. And it's of some value. But let me tell you, what's really going to pay off in your life, in your ministry, in everything you do, is godliness. Godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and all we're going through here, and the life to come. This is really where you want to put your energy into. This is really what you want to be concerned about. Is your spiritual fitness. Now, physical fitness, you want to be healthy because you want to do your best there. That's of some value. But when you really look at the big picture, what's really going to serve you well in this life and the life to come is how much you're training for godliness. And I remember, I had a big life change about 10 years ago. It was 10 years ago. So I'm coming up on the big 5-0 next month. All right. So it's stressing me out. I don't want to talk about it here. Get all like depressed and stuff. It wasn't as bad as when I was turning 4-0. That was a hard transition for me. And I kind of had to learn some lessons the hard way and went through some physical stuff and had to kind of reorient my life, my eating habits, my exercise, all that stuff. It's like nothing was happening like it was in the 20s and 30s. It was like a switch flipped at 40. It's like, well, how is this happening to me? And I remember once I kind of was finally recouping from some stuff, some friends gave us their P90X DVD set. Anybody, do you remember? That was the cool thing back, before CrossFit, right? Was Tony Horton and P90X. You remember all the infomercials and all that. And I remember, how hard these workouts were, but how great they were. And I wish somebody had taught me in my 20s, about core work. Maybe I would have avoided some stuff in my 40s that I went through. But the most valuable part of this whole series, the most valuable part was none of the workouts. The plyometrics were great. That whole core series. The Denny still does that kickboxing stuff. I could never get the rhythm or hang of that. But it was the cookbook. It was the stupid cookbook that changed my life. It was like learning how to eat. Remember, for years I've been this youth pastor. And I was eating, fast food and pizza, teenagers and all that stuff. And it just caught up with me, And it was just like, but I just learned so much just about bread. And just about, what kind of bread I ate changed, how I felt, my energy level, and just sticking to whole grain bread instead of all that. Miss the white, Wonder to sourdough, any of all that stuff. But I had no idea that bread was a big deal. and cutting out just, so much stuff, increasing my protein, and just, lowering the fat stuff. All that gave me fuel and just a sense of more energy and health. And I just felt so different just after a few weeks of changing my eating habits. And just follow Tony's guide in P90A. If you just eat off his shopping list, you will feel so much better. But Jesus kind of says, he says the same thing that Paul is alluding to. It's like, okay, you got to eat. But listen, to really live, you will live by more than bread alone. More than just food alone. Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. That is what your soul needs. Your soul needs the kind of fuel that's going to energize you and really take you to the level you need to live a life that God wants for you, that He has designed you for. And it's got to start with fueling yourself with a healthy intake. Because we've got so much stuff. I mean, it's like we're just surrounded by junk food spiritually on so many levels. Everything's coming at us, and it's just like this life going through a drive-thru. And it's just like, we're just like Homer Simpsoning through life, just eating whatever, donuts and everything that's like right in front of us. And it all affects our soul. And so, not bagging specifically on donuts. But how can we really improve what's going into our souls? Because all that stuff is affecting us. All the stuff that's on our devices, it's in the media, that all that stuff's feeding in and having an impact somehow. Jesus gives these words. He says, the Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. Oh, come on. I mean, it counts for a little bit. Come on, Jesus. Seriously? I want to feel good. I don't need to do a Murph, but, I need to do, I want to look good. It's sun's coming out, spring, summer's around the corner, going on a trip over spring break. I want to look good. And so it counts for a little bit, right? Flesh counts. Let me read that right. Flesh counts for nothing. Nothing. All this stuff, all this money, time, worry, stress that we put into how are we going to look? How are we going to come across physically? Zilch. Zero. Flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, however, they are full of the Spirit and life. The words that you have heard from me, now that is something that's going to make a difference for you. Okay, so this is where I want to start in this message series, in this CrossFit series. Okay, just like CrossFit, it's going to be a little challenge. This isn't going to be a walk in the park series, okay? And so you guys are ready for this. And so it's designed to stretch us a little bit. So here's our first wad, okay? And I'm kind of playing a little loose with the meaning of this because that's a workout of the day. This is a workout kind of a few weeks that you're going to do as in many days as you can. You're gonna AMRAP. I don't know how that works, but okay. But here is the challenge between now and Easter, and I'm gonna show you why I think this is important here in just a second. Between now and Easter, so that's April 1st. Today is what, March 12th, 11th. So it's It's a few weeks. You have to read one gospel, one epistle, in one psalm, and I'm going to explain what those are in a minute. And so, let me just really quick. There's four Gospels in the Bible. They're all just about Jesus' life. This is where you find his words. If you have one of those Bibles, that it's my favorite. It's like a red letter version. His words are in red. It's kind of cool. They kind of jump out at you. And so some Gospels are longer than others, but none of them are super long. It's easy to do. You can read the whole New Testament in a weekend, by the way. It's less than a Harry Potter book, and some of you guys have done that like in a one sitting. And so one Gospel, then an epistle, that's like just one of those letters like Romans or Corinthians, and it's just a fancy word for a letter. It's a letter that represents your belief system, your epistemology. And so Paul wrote a bunch of them. Peter wrote a couple. James wrote one. John wrote three little short ones. And then one little psalm. Okay, so we're gonna break that down. But let me tell you why. And I don't know if these next passages are gonna do you much good, but they do me a lot of good. And when I'm not fueling up on God's word, the words in green can really drive me down. And so when I can tend to let my worries and my anxieties get away from me, if I'm not fueled up on these words. And Jesus, I didn't put the whole passage in here. He gets done telling this whole parable on why we shouldn't worry about saving up and being and just thinking about ourselves and all this stuff. And he just simply says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. And then he looks around and in my opinion, he sees the looks on everybody's faces that he's talking to. And he's all, they need more convincing. And he goes on to tell them more about why you don't need to worry and why God is looking out after you and has so much invested in you, and you do not have to try to be God in your life. And so, but it's just a simple passage. You know, I don't know if I would be a Christian without this passage in Luke 12. And I didn't throw the passages on here. These are more for me than for you. I don't know. But you can find them. They're easy. If this one comes from the gospel. I would probably be a Christian, I guess. I mean, I would want to be. But if Jesus didn't talk so personally about what really... If he didn't get me so well, I don't know if I would feel so drawn and so close. Everything else would sound good. But when he spends so much time letting me know that I don't have to be anxious, I don't have to be worried, that I am at the center of his universe. You know, that he has got his eye on me and my family and what I'm concerned about, so that I don't need to be so weighed down by it. I mean, that just really draws me in and wants... It makes me want to really follow this person. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. You can at any moment, as soon as something, you know, starts to really nag at you, just bring it to God. And without that verse, I don't know if I would feel so free and invited to do that. That comes from one of the epistles. And then one of King David's Psalms. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. What I love about this psalm and this little line, without it, I don't know if I would really know that God sees into my heart and it's okay to invite him in. But because of that, I'm more comfortable and ready to do that. In fact, now I don't shy away from hiding my anxious thoughts, because I know that I'm actually supposed to invite God in to the whole, you know, mess of my heart. And so So that's just one little topic of how having fueled up on some gospel, on some epistle, on some psalm. The psalms are just a bunch of poems. They're just a bunch of songs. But they all have to do with just everyday life. They wouldn't be in there, you know. Everybody thinks that the reason that stuff is in the Bible is because somehow there's something holy or special about the way it was delivered and put down into ink and all that. Here's the real reason it was preserved in the books that made it. It's because it works. It works. It wouldn't have made it unless it worked. It stood the test of time. That's what inspired means. Inspired means these words are from God and they work. They're useful for teaching, correction. All those things that the New Testament says about itself. Okay, when you're confused and you're like, wait, God, why? Why did you let that happen? Wait, I thought life was supposed to go in this direction. How come? I thought when I took this job, you know, the things were going to get better. We prayed about that. I don't get why are things going like that. You know, it's like, why is this kid turning out that way? I thought we did all that, you know. Just think of whether it's your own life or in your family or, you know, friends that you're close with, all the twists and turns that can make life so confusing. And it can drive you crazy unless you're rooted in this truth for your soul. God, there's no way. There's no way that can dig out of this one. No? Well, if you just keep clawing at it, yeah, it just might be impossible for you. But with God, all things are possible. And you never have to lose hope. I love how Paul puts this in Romans. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. So many times when things don't make sense, if I don't have that verse ringing in my ears, then I just go into a sin cycle. It's like, wait, why is this going on? And I just love how simply the psalm puts it, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. You know why I love that? I remember a pastor friend when I was in my 20s. He was one of the pastors at the church I was going to. And I was confused about what direction to go career-wise and some different things. And he goes, I've been there, Rick. I know how you feel. Let me tell you the best advice anyone ever gave me. And he flipped open to this little psalm. I kind of took the references out because I kind of, if you were interested, if it connected with you, well, maybe go look them up. You know, it's not that hard. I found, this is Doug speaking, he goes, hey, you remember Doug Stolling? Yeah, so, by the way, Amy Williams is here. And so, yeah, an old friend, good to see you. So, but it was Doug that said, Rick, just delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Just put your focus on him. Don't worry about having to figure everything out. Just enjoy God, and all that stuff's gonna come together. Well, this is some of the best advice anybody ever gave me. And so, you know, just going back to a psalm. Ugh. Okay, this one's when you're doing your best. You're serving, you're being selfless, you're going, you know, you're using your resources, your finances to to not just for yourself, but you're giving yourself away. It's like, is it really worth it? And then it rings in your ears, Jesus' words. Look, if you want to walk with me, you're gonna need to feel it. It's not always gonna come easy. You're gonna have to deny yourself and feel a little cross yourself. But that's okay, because it's gonna be worth it. It's always gonna be worth it for my disciples, those who follow me. But if you feel like you're denying yourself a little bit here, you're on the right track. That's where you're supposed to be. All right, this one's from James. Starts off this way. I've got to go back and actually read this to remember, okay, did he actually say it? Did he actually say, consider it pure joy? Did he throw the pure in there? Am I just remembering that wrong? It's just consider it nice. Consider it pure joy, you guys, when you face trials and disappointments and hurts and things don't go your way, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. It's like, what? I'm out some money here. Yeah, you should feel joyful about that. Consider that pure joy when you've kind of felt a little taken for granted. Okay? You're on the right track. This is God can now do some stuff in you that he's been wanting to do. All right, I couldn't just summarize this Psalm 73, but I remember hearing, I was at another church and heard the pastor speak on this not that long ago. I mean, like 4 years ago, something like that. And it was like, how did I miss Psalm 73? It's like, nobody talks about Psalm 73. Maybe you'll see why. It's kind of crazy sounding. It's almost a little sacrilegious. You're like, whoa, what's going to happen? But this is what's so great about the Psalms. They're so real. They're full of doubt. They're full of pain. They're full of disappointment. They're full of like worry and confusion. It's like, God, are you there? I'm going to read you Eugene Peterson's paraphrase in The Message. What's going on here? Is God out to lunch? And this is just a couple paragraphs out of the psalm. Nobody's tending the store. The wicked get by with everything. They've got it made, piling up riches. I've been stupid to play by the rules. What has it gotten me? A long run of bad luck, that's what. A slap in the face every time I walk out the door. Ooh, that's in the Bible. Anybody stumbled across Psalm 73? Have you ever felt that way? You don't have to.
Yeah. Ever read Bart?
If I'd given in and talked like this, I would have betrayed your dear children. Still, when I tried to figure it out, all I got was a splitting headache. Have you ever been there? Until I entered the sanctuary of God, then I saw the whole picture. And it's this sense of, until I finally just stopped trying to figure it out and I just went and worshiped with the people of God and entered the place, you know, entered the sanctuary. Until I went to church, you know, and just got around some people that are trying to follow God, and I could just, you know, let that rub off on me and just let God take the lead. Then I saw the whole picture. The slippery road that I would be on if I didn't hold on to God and trust him. Where there's a final crash and a ditch of delusion and the blink of an eye, disaster, a blind curve in the dark, nightmare. We wake up and rub our eyes, nothing. There's nothing to that kind of life, and there never was. But it took me to just, you know, relinquishing my own efforts and just being in God's presence. Then it all came clear. But that psalm has just helped me realize, okay, I don't need to know it all. I can't figure it all out. I can't map it all out. I was never intended to. Just relax. Just trust in the journey. Let God be God. Get yourself around some people that are trying to focus on that also. And quit listening and fueling up on all these other worldly pressures and images and drives that are, you know, that are gonna end in disaster. There's no payoff there. It might seem like that's what's happening, but it's an illusion. Okay, do I have you convinced at all that this is a good wad, that this is worth it? I'm not saying you gotta read the whole Bible here. Focus in on one gospel, one epistle, and one psalm. And there's like 150, literally there's 150 psalms. Pick one. Some of them are short. Don't pick 119, you'd be going forever. It's like, the guy didn't know. Do you know what? Yeah, seriously. And so, okay. So, but if you're gonna kind of wuss out on the gospel thing and go with Mark, all right, that's the short one. Then you gotta pick a long epistle, all right? Okay. So if you go with Mark, then you gotta do Romans, First Corinthians or something. Yeah. By the way these are ordered is kind of by how long they are. Up until you get to, shorter, real short. Philemon's on like the back of the napkin. Remember we did that? But then Hebrews gets long. It's weird. That one just shows up in the middle. Now that's a long one. And these get shorter. Okay, what am I missing here? I took out Acts and I took out Revelation. Okay, you don't need to bother with us. Okay, so. It's good, but okay, I'm just saying. This is my wad, right? And so I'm like, this is my myrrh. I need a good name for it. Okay, so this is anyway. Okay, so but if you do math, it doesn't matter. And you don't have to. You're not doing it for time. Well, you kind of are by Easter. Okay. Does it sound hard?
No, it's not.
Okay. I hope it doesn't sound hard because what Lena has for you next Sunday. Okay, I'm not gonna. That's all I'm gonna say about Lena's wad next Sunday, and so because that's really gonna challenge you. This is gonna fuel you. So is what she has for you, but in a different way. At least it's hard for me. but I hope you enjoy this. I hope you spend some time and do it in a relaxed way. Nobody's, you know, with a timer. Nobody's making it intense for you. Just enjoy and delight being just delight in the Lord and see where it takes you. But the reason I think it will add to your spiritual fitness is these words. Oh, and here's the other thing. Don't try to figure anything out. Okay, if something doesn't make sense, just keep reading. Seriously, don't worry about it. Just get the words in there because they're going to, you just need the grams of protein right now. You just need some good, healthy grams. Get them in there. Okay? If it's like, I don't get that parable, don't worry about it. It's gonna come back to you right when you need it. You can always go back to it. But just enjoy reading. Okay, I know some of you are going to want to like look stuff up. Fine. Do whatever you want. You know, text me, email me. You know, I'd love to get together, get some coffee, go over stuff, but you don't need to worry about it. Just enjoy reading through this awesome, these words that give life and clarity and peace to our souls. Paul puts it this way in Corinthians. Again, you've been around some athletes. And you've been to some games. Maybe you've been in some competitions himself. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Lord Jesus, I just I thank you that you get us and you know what we need. And even though we turn our attention to so many different goals and ambitions in this life, we need your words to really show us what real life is about and what's going to make a difference to us now and forever. And so, Lord, help us to do some training. Help us to be a little disciplined about it. Help us to set aside time to fuel up on your words that are going to protect us, that are going to guide us, that are going to lift us, carry us through disappointments and confusion and trials and worry, that are going to spur us on to give of ourselves, to do good in this world and fulfill the purpose you have for each of us. And so, Lord, we do. We want to get the kind of crown that we can be proud of and not regret that we put a whole bunch of time into something silly that didn't really count for much. And so, Lord, help us to do that. And let us enjoy and delight in you along the way. We pray this in your name. Amen. Well, as John and the team comes back up, just want to invite you to the Lord's table in your own time as we continue to worship together. And if you would like to pray, our prayer team would love to pray with you and for you in the back of the room.